The Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. Side 2, continuing from page 17.
Part 2 of the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá. He is God. O my Lord, my heart's desire, Thou whom I ever invoke, Thou who art my aider and my shelter, my helper and my refuge, Thou seest me submerged in an ocean of calamities that overwhelm the soul, of afflictions that oppress the heart, of woes that disperse Thy gathering, of ills and pains that scatter Thy flock. Sore trials have compassed me round, and perils have from all sides beset me. Thou seest me immersed in a sea of unsurpassed tribulation, sunk into a fathomless abyss, afflicted by mine enemies and consumed with the flame of their hate, enkindled by my kinsmen with whom Thou didst make Thy strong covenant and Thy firm testament, wherein Thou biddest them turn their hearts to this wronged one, to keep away from me the foolish, the unjust, and refer unto this lonely one all that about which they defer in Thy holy book, so that the truth may be revealed unto them, their doubts may be dispelled, and Thy manifest signs be spread abroad. Yet now Thou seest them, O Lord my God, with Thine eye that sleepeth not, how that they have broken Thy covenant, and turned their backs thereon, how with hate and rebelliousness they have erred from Thy testament, and have arisen intent upon malice. Adversities have waxed still more severe as they rose with unbearable cruelty to overpower and crush me, as they scattered far and wide their scrolls of doubt, and in utter falsehood hurled their calumnies upon me. Not content with this, their chief, O my God, hath dared to interpolate Thy book, to fraudulently alter Thy decisive holy text, and falsify that which hath been revealed by Thy all-glorious pen. He did also maliciously insert that which Thou didst reveal for the one that hath wrought the most glaring cruelty upon Thee, disbelieved in Thee, and denied Thy wondrous signs, into what Thou didst reveal for this servant of Thine that hath been wronged in this world. All this he did, that he might beguile the souls of men and breathe his evil whisperings into the hearts of Thy devoted ones. Thereunto did their second chief testify, confessing it in his own handwriting, setting thereupon his seal and spreading it throughout all regions. O my God, could there be a more grievous injustice than this? And still they rested not, but further strove with stubbornness, falsehood, and slander, with scorn and calumny, to stir up sedition in the midst of the government of this land and elsewhere, causing them to deem me a sower of sedition, and filling the minds with things that the ear abhorreth to hear. The government was thus alarmed. Fear fell upon the sovereign, and the suspicion of the nobility was aroused. Minds were troubled, affairs were upset, souls were perturbed, the fire of anguish and sorrow was kindled within the breasts. The holy leaves of the household were convulsed and shaken, their eyes rained with tears, their sighs and lamentations were raised, and their hearts burned within them as they bewailed this wronged servant of Thine, fallen a victim unto the hands of these, his kindred, nay, his very enemies. Lord, Thou seest all things weeping me, and my kindred rejoicing in my woes. By Thy glory, O my God, even amongst mine enemies some have lamented my troubles and my distress, and of the envious ones a number have shed tears because of my cares, my exile, and my affliction. They did this because they found naught in me but affection and care, and witnessed naught but kindliness and mercy. As they saw me swept into the flood of tribulation and adversity, and exposed even as a target to the arrows of fate, their hearts were moved with compassion. Tears came to their eyes, and they testified, declaring, The Lord is our witness. Naught have we seen from him but faithfulness, generosity, and extreme compassion. The covenant breakers, foreboders of evil, however, waxed fiercer in their rancor, rejoiced as I fell a victim to the most grievous ordeal, they stirred themselves against me and made merry over the heart-rending happenings around me. I call upon thee, O Lord my God, with my tongue and with all my heart, not to requite them for their cruelty and their wrongdoings, their craft and their mischief, for they are foolish and ignoble, and know not what they do. They discern not good from evil, neither do they distinguish right from wrong, nor justice from injustice. They follow their own desires and walk in the footsteps of the most perfect and foolish amongst them. O my Lord, have mercy upon them. Shield them from all afflictions in these troubled times, and grant that all trials and hardships may be the lot of this thy servant that hath fallen into this darksome pit. Single me out for every woe, and make me a sacrifice for all thy loved ones. O Lord Most High, may my soul, my life, my being, my spirit, my all be offered up for them. O God, my God, lowly, suppliant, and fallen upon my face, I beseech thee with all the ardor of my invocation to pardon whosoever hath hurt me. Forgive him that hath conspired against me and offended me, and wash away the misdeeds of them that have wrought injustice upon me. Vouchsafe unto them thy goodly gifts. Give them joy. Relieve them from sorrow. Grant them peace and prosperity. Give them thy bliss, and pour upon them thy bounty. Thou art the powerful, the gracious, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. O dearly beloved friends, I am now in very great danger, and the hope of even an hour's life is lost to me. I am thus constrained to write these lines for the protection of the cause of God, the preservation of his law, the safeguarding of his word, and the safety of his teachings. By the ancient beauty, this wronged one hath in no wise borne, nor doth he bear a grudge against any one. Towards none doth he entertain any ill feeling, and uttereth no word save for the good of the world. My supreme obligation, however, of necessity, prompteth me to guard and preserve the cause of God. Thus, with the greatest regret, I counsel you, saying, guard ye the cause of God, protect his law, and have the utmost fear of discord. This is the foundation of the belief of the people of Baha. May my life be offered up for them. His Holiness, the Exalted One, the Bab, is the manifestation of the unity and oneness of God, and the forerunner of the ancient beauty. His Holiness, the Abha Beauty, may my life be a sacrifice for his steadfast friends, is the supreme manifestation of God and the dayspring of his most divine essence. All others are servants unto him and do his bidding. Unto the most holy book everyone must turn, and all that is not expressly recorded therein must be referred to the universal house of justice. That which this body, whether unanimously or by a majority, doth carry, that is verily the truth and the purpose of God himself. Whoso doth deviate therefrom is verily of them that love discord, hath shown forth malice, and turned away from the Lord of the covenant. By this house is meant that universal house of justice, which is to be elected from all countries, that is, from those part in the east and west where the loved ones are to be found, after the manner of the customary elections in western countries, such as those of England. It is incumbent upon these members of the universal house of justice to gather in a certain place and deliberate upon all problems which have caused difference, questions that are obscure and matters that are not expressly recorded in the book. Whatsoever they decide has the same effect as the text itself, and inasmuch as this house of justice hath power to enact laws, that are not expressly recorded in the book and bear upon daily transactions, so also it hath power to repeal the same. Thus, for example, the House of Justice enacteth today a certain law and enforceth it, and 100 years hence, circumstances having profoundly changed and the conditions having altered, another House of Justice will then have power, according to the exigencies of the time, to alter that law. This it can do because that law formeth no part of the divine explicit text. The House of Justice is both the initiator and the abrogator of its own laws. And now, one of the greatest and most fundamental principles of the cause of God is to shun and avoid entirely the covenant breakers, for they will utterly destroy the cause of God, exterminate his law, and render of no account all efforts exerted in the past. O friends, it behooveth you to call to mind with tenderness the trials of his holiness, the Exalted One, and show your fidelity to the ever-blessed beauty. The utmost endeavor must be exerted lest all these woes, trials, and afflictions, all this pure and sacred blood that hath been shed so profusely in the path of God, may prove to be in vain. Ye know well what the hands of the center of sedition, Mirza Muhammad Ali, and his associates have wrought. Among his doings, one of them is the corruption of the sacred text, whereof ye are all aware, the Lord be praised. And know that it is evident, proven, and confirmed by the testimony of his brother, Mirza Fadiullah, whose confession is written in his own handwriting, beareth his seal, is printed and spread abroad. This is but one of his misdeeds. Can a transgression be imagined more glaring than this, the interpolation of the holy text? Nay, by the righteousness of the Lord. His transgressions are writ and recorded in a leaflet by itself. Please God, ye will peruse it. In short, according to the explicit divine text, the least transgression shall make of this man a fallen creature. And what transgression is more grievous than attempting to destroy the divine edifice, breaking the covenant, erring from the testament, falsifying the holy text, sowing the deeds of doubt, calumniating Abdu'l-Bahá, advancing claims for which God hath sent down no warrant, kindling mischief, and striving to shed the very blood of Abdu'l-Bahá, and many other things whereof ye are all aware. It is thus evident that should this man succeed in bringing disruption into the cause of God, he will utterly destroy and exterminate it. Beware lest ye approach this man, for to approach him is worse than approaching fire. Gracious God, after Mirza Fadiullah had declared in his own handwriting that this man, Muhammad Ali, had broken the covenant and had proclaimed his falsification of the holy text, he realized that to return to the true faith and pay allegiance to the covenant and testament would in no wise promote his selfish desires. He thus repented and regretted the thing he had done, and attempted privily to gather in his printed confessions, plotted darkly with the center of sedition against me, and informed him daily of all the happenings within my household. He has even taken a leading part in the mischievous deeds that have of late been committed. Praised be to God, affairs recovered their former stability, and the loved ones obtained partial peace. But ever since the day he entered again into our midst, he began afresh to sow the seeds of sore sedition. Some of his machinations and intrigues will be recorded in a separate leaflet. My purpose is, however, to show that it is incumbent upon the friends that are fast and firm in the covenant and testament to be ever wakeful, lest, after this wronged one is gone, this alert and active worker of mischief may cause disruption, privily sow the seeds of doubt and sedition, and utterly root out the cause of God. 1,000 times shun his company. Take heed and be on your guard. Watch and examine should anyone, openly or privily, have the least connection with him. Cast him out from your midst, for he will surely cause disruption and mischief. O ye beloved of the Lord, strive with all your heart to shield the cause of God from the onslaught of the insincere. for souls such as these cause the straight to become crooked, and all benevolent efforts to produce contrary results. O God, my God, I call thee, thy prophets and thy messengers, thy saints and thy holy ones, to witness that I have declared conclusively thy proofs unto thy loved ones, and set forth clearly all things unto them, that they may watch over thy faith, guard thy straight path, and protect thy resplendent law. Thou art verily the all-knowing, the all-wise. The Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, Part 3. He is the witness, the all-sufficing. O my God, my beloved, my heart's desire, thou knowest, thou seest that which hath befallen this servant of thine, that hath humbled himself at thy door, and thou knowest the sins committed against him by the people of malice, they that have broken thy covenant and turned their backs on thy testament. In the daytime they afflicted me with the arrows of hate, and in the night season they privily conspired to hurt me. At dawn they committed that which the celestial concourse did lament, and at eventide they unsheathed against me the sword of tyranny, and hurled in the presence of the ungodly their darts of calumny upon me. Notwithstanding their misdeed, this lowly servant of thine was patient, and did endure every affliction and trial at their hands, though by thy power and might he could have destroyed their words, quenched their fire, and stayed the flame of their rebelliousness. Thou seest, O my God, how my long-suffering, my forbearance and silence, have increased their cruelty, their arrogance, and their pride. By thy glory, O beloved one, they have misbelieved in thee and rebelled against thee in such wise that they left me not a moment of rest and quiet, that I might arise, as it is meet and seemly, to exalt thy word amidst mankind, and might serve at thy threshold of holiness, with a heart that overfloweth with the joy of the dwellers of the Abha kingdom. Lord, my cup of woe runneth over, and from all sides blows are fiercely raging upon me. The darts of affliction have compassed me round, and the arrows of distress have rained upon me. Thus tribulation overwhelmed me, and my strength, because of the onslaught of the foemen, became weakness within me, while I stood alone and forsaken in the midst of my woes. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lift me up unto thyself, and make me to drink from the chalice of martyrdom, for the wide world with all its vastness can no longer contain me. Thou art verily the merciful, the compassionate, the gracious, the all-bountiful. O ye the true, the sincere, the faithful friends of this wronged one, everyone knoweth and believeth what calamities and afflictions have befallen this wronged one, this prisoner, at the hands of those who have broken the covenant, at the time when, after the setting of the day star of the world, his heart was consumed with the flame of his bereavement. When, in all parts of the earth, the enemies of God, profiting by the passing of the Son of Truth, suddenly and with all their might, launched their attack, at such a time, and in the midst of so great a calamity, the covenant breakers arose with the utmost cruelty, intent upon harm, and the stirring up of the spirit of enmity. At every moment a misdeed they did commit, and bestirred themselves to sow the seeds of grievous sedition, and to ruin the edifice of the covenant. But this wronged one, this prisoner, did his utmost to hide and veil their doings, that haply they might regret and repent. His long suffering and forbearance of these evil deeds, however, made the rebellious one still more arrogant and daring, until, through leaflets written with their own hands, they sowed the seeds of doubt, printing these leaflets and scattering them broadcast throughout the world, believing that such foolish doings would bring to naught the covenant and the testament. Thereupon the loved ones of the Lord arose, inspired with the greatest confidence and constancy, and aided by the power of the kingdom, by divine strength, by heavenly grace, by the unfailing help and celestial bounty, they withstood the enemies of the covenant in well nigh 70 treatises, and supported by conclusive proof, unmistakable evidences, and clear texts from the Holy Writ. They refuted their scrolls of doubt and mischief-kindling leaflets. The center of sedition was thus confounded in his craftiness, afflicted by the wrath of God, sunk into a degradation and infamy that shall be lasting until the day of doom. Base and wretched is the plight of the people of evil deeds, they that are in grievous loss. And as they lost their cause, grew hopeless in their efforts against the loved ones of God, saw the standard of his testament waving throughout all regions, and witnessed the power of the covenant of the Merciful One, the flame of envy so blazed within them as to be beyond recounting. With the utmost vigor, exertion, rancor, and enmity, they followed another path, walked in another way, devised another plan, that of kindling the flame of sedition in the heart of the very government itself, and thus caused this wronged one, this prisoner, to appear as a mover of strife, inimical to the government, and a hater and opponent of the crown. Perchance Abdu'l-Bahá may be put to death, and his name be made to perish, whereby an arena may be opened unto the enemies of the covenant, wherein they may advance and spur on their charger, inflict a grievous loss upon everyone, and subvert the very foundations of the edifice of the cause of God. For so grievous is the conduct and behavior of this false people that they are become even as an axe striking at the very root of the blessed tree. Should they be suffered to continue, they would in but a few days' time exterminate the cause of God, his word, and themselves. Hence the beloved of the Lord must entirely shun them, avoid them, foil their machinations and evil whisperings, guard the law of God and his religion, engage one and all in diffusing widely and sweet savors of God, and to the best of their endeavor, proclaim his teachings. Whosoever and whatsoever meeting becometh a hindrance to the diffusion of the light of faith, let the loved ones give them counsel and say, of all the gifts of God, the greatest is the gift of teaching. It draweth unto us the grace of God, and is our first obligation. Of such a gift, how can we deprive ourselves? Nay, our lives, our goods, our comforts, our rest, we offer them all as a sacrifice for the Abha beauty, and teach the cause of God. Caution and prudence, however, must be observed, even as recorded in the book. The veil must in no wise be suddenly rent asunder. The glory of glories rest upon you. O ye the faithful loved ones of Abdu'l-Bahá, it is incumbent upon you to take the greatest care of Shoghi Effendi, the twig that hath branched from the fruit given forth by the two hallowed and divine lote trees, that no dust of despondency and sorrow may stain his radiant nature, that day by day he may wax greater in happiness, in joy, and spirituality, and may grow to become even as a fruitful tree. For he is, after Abdu'l-Bahá, the guardian of the cause of God, the Afnan, the hands of the cause, and the beloved of the Lord must obey him and turn unto him. He that obeyeth him not hath not obeyed God. He that turneth away from him hath turned away from God, and he that denieth him hath denied the true one. Beware lest any one falsely interpret these words, and liken to them that have broken the covenant after the day of ascension of Baha'u'llah, advance a pretext, raise the standard of revolt, wax stubborn and open wide the door of false interpretation. To none is given the right to put forth his own opinion or express his particular convictions. All must seek guidance and turn unto the center of the cause and the house of justice. And he that turneth unto whatsoever else is indeed in grievous error. The glory of glories rest upon you.
This is the end of the Will and Testament. Your reader was Carla Jean Jeffords. This recording was prepared under the direction of Bahá'í Service for the Blind.